In the book of Genesis, the devil comes as a wily serpent. Can you be like God? Is the savvy question he posed to Adam and Eve in the lushness of the first garden. Can you take hold of a higher wisdom, a keener knowledge, a more divine humanity? Take this fruit. I swear it won't kill you. Maybe just a bite, just to see how it tastes. In the garden, the great challenge is the opportunity for ascent. Humanity, ever since the beginning, has been obsessed with trending upward. From the social ladder to the space program, humanity has had a desire to elevate itself from the very beginning. So the temptation of the apple in the garden and the power it promised to unlock was a foolproof trap. But what kind of trap do you set for the Son of God? Will he be tempted as those two innocents were oh so long ago in the garden? What will it take to ensnare Jesus? Could the tempter use Jesus' very own identity against him? Well, as St. Matthew tells the story, the devil comes to Jesus in the guise of a brilliant interrogator. He comes to the exhausted Son of God with a shrewd inversion of those primordial questions. Can you be fully human? Can you abdicate power, exercise restraint, work in obscurity? Can you bear the vulnerability of what it means to be weak and mortal and human? The tempter knows who Jesus is. I almost prefer the translation that understands Jesus as the Son of God over what we heard in the current "if you are." The tempter wasn't born yesterday. He knows exactly who he's dealing with, and it's not two greenhorns in a garden. Instead of offering Jesus power, which the devil full well knows Jesus has, he prods at him for his apparent abdication of it. The temptation that Jesus faces in his encounter in the wilderness is the rejection of the very humanity he came to save. And in the same manner, a rejection of the will of the Father and the whole point of the incarnation altogether. The devil seems to be banking on Jesus' response to be similar to that of the Israelites back in Exodus and Deuteronomy, that he will be just as unfaithful and will choose his own will instead of the Lord God's. Yet Jesus can smell rotten fruit, and instead of taking a bite, he toys with the devil. For each temptation, Jesus pulls a response directly from Deuteronomy, as if to signal to the devil that he has read his hand, and it's not going to end like that scene in the garden, and most certainly won't play out like it did with the other son of God, that of Israel, and their unfaithfulness in their own wilderness experience. Jesus, in his temptation, has made it clear that he is going to truly embrace his humanity, this humanity that he came to save, and will endure the frailty, the hunger, and the pain associated with skin and bone. In his time on earth, Jesus will come to know the very heart of all that ails humanity in one way or another, so that it can be truly claimed, as it is in Hebrews, that we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. It is in this temptation in the desert that we should be able to find solidarity with Jesus. It is in this temptation that the root of our temptation is made evident, the temptation to treat God as less than God. Temptation for us bears many names and wears many masks, but underneath it all plays the same. In one way or another, temptation makes more of us and less of God. Simply list off the so-called seven deadly sins. And what do they all have in common? The self. Whether it is to gratify, glorify, or satisfy, it is all about the self. It's about me. And not about what God desires, what God wills, or what God has made possible through Christ Jesus. The season of Lent and the Lenten fast are a time for us to re-embrace our humanity and to listen for the call of God in our lives. Lent is a time to ground ourselves in what makes us truly human. We are called to come face to face with our hunger and the myriad ways we try to satiate that hunger. We are called to come face to face with our own humanity, as well as the humanity of those around us. We are to confess our brokenness and the ways in which we fall short of what we were created to be. In Lent, we are once again led out into the wilderness. Perhaps it's just a spiritual wilderness, but a wilderness nonetheless. A wilderness we enter in order that we may be reminded of our utter and sheer reliance on God, a reliance that didn't escape Jesus, but escaped our spiritual ancestors in that desert ages ago. Now, it can be said that our desired ascent and our yearning for power hasn't changed. But because of Christ's abdication of power, his embodiment of the flesh, and his resistance to the sway of the tempter, the one who fooled us in the garden can no longer trap us in the wilderness or wild places of our lives. Therefore, we, fully embracing our humanness, journey into this blessed season of repentance, prayer, fasting, and listening, knowing that Jesus has gone there before us and once again journeys alongside us in our temptations, in our daily living and daily dying, in him and through him. Amen. Thanks be to God.